You are listening to CKMS 102.7 FM in Waterloo, Ontario, radiowaterloo.ca on the web. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative grant program and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. You can access the archives of this show on radiowaterloo.ca/news or on the National Local Journalism Initiative website. I'm your host, Trish Holmes. There are many organizations throughout the region whose aim is to help and nurture others. Some prefer to take a charitable structure, others a mutual aid structure. On today's show are interviews with two different types of mutual aid and one interview with a charity. The first interview is with the local chapter of Hockey Helps the Homeless, a charitable organization who raises money on behalf of local agencies and raise money they do. When I last checked, the spring fund drive had already raised over $325,000. The second interview is with Julie Sawatsky, who started the 519 Community Collective, an example of mutual aid within the community that was started last year during the dark days of the pandemic. The final interview is with Father Toby Collins of St. Mary's Church in downtown Kitchener, who has started an affordable takeaway service. To start with, I talked to Craig Herner of Hockey Helps the Homeless. Craig talked to me about how their charity is organized and their benefactors. Hockey Helps the Homeless is a national organization, is that correct?
So yes, Hockey Helps the Homeless is a national charity, and they have been around since 1996. It was born from a simple idea of using hockey to help Toronto's most needy. So a group of Toronto businessmen used some donated ice time at then Maple Leaf Gardens to host a charity hockey tournament for friends and colleagues. So the first tournament way back then was called Hockey for the Homeless, and it just raised over $8,000. So those businessmen, they used that fund to create 300 survival kits, and they took to the streets in Toronto and hand-delivered them to the most vulnerable. So then it was a couple years later in 1999 that Hall of Famer Mike Gartner suggested that the tournament be turned into a pro-am event. And if people don't know what a pro-am event is, it's basically when some regular hockey players have teams and they each get put an ex-pro or Olympian on their team for the day. So it's a real fun experience for them. And so the first pro-am event was held in Markham. And so now just skipping ahead a little bit here, Montreal came on board in 2004, 2008 was Calgary, Vancouver, 2013 both Edmonton and Bay Street, and then finally in 2014 it was Kitchener-Waterloo, Barrie, London, and Queen's University, the first collegiate tournament.
Okay.
And then since 2014 there's been University of Western Ontario, Durham College, Halifax, Brampton, and Winnipeg. So Hockey Helps the Homeless now hosts 14 tournaments from coast to coast, and they raise over $2.5 million annually, and $16 million since inception for local homeless support agencies. And the important part to make there is the local homeless support agencies.
Yeah.
So every dollar that's fundraised in each city stays in each city. It doesn't go off to another country or anywhere else.
So you've raised $16 million for the local Waterloo region?
No, the $16 million is since inception for across Canada.
Oh, I see. Okay. You're fundraising to provide to for those kits, are you?
No. All of our money basically goes and we support five partner beneficiaries, which I'll let you know who they are. So the House of Friendship, YW Kitchener-Waterloo, One Roof Youth Services, Lutherwood Safe Haven, and the Cambridge Shelter Corp. So all the money that we raise at each tournament each year goes to those organizations.
What kind of money are you raising?
Yeah, so basically in the first year, it was pretty difficult getting the new event off the ground, and we raised $70,000 that year for four local agencies that we supported way back then in 2014. Each year we have grown, and for the past handful of tournaments, we've been maxed out at 16 teams that actually play hockey in our tournament. And our last event in October 2019, we raised $260,000. So that brings our six-year total to $1.04 million that we have granted to local shelters since 2014.
And most of the money is raised at the tournament?
Yeah, so most of the money is from the players that fundraise ahead of time before our actual event. We do have some other events that bring in some money, like our silent auction at the event and some other small events that we hold during the year. But the majority of it is the peer-to-peer fundraising from the players before the event, yeah.
And does that tournament happen in the region?
Yes. So as I mentioned, that they host 14 tournaments across the country every year. And so we are one of the organizations for local. So basically, how did the tournament kind of come here? So basically, a local gentleman, Mark Wolf, found Hockey Helps the Homeless while searching the internet, and he decided he wanted to bring it here. So he was the chair our first year. John Thompson was the chair our second year. And now the last 5 years, Rob Way has been our chair, and I've been vice chair of our volunteer committee. Mm-hmm. So that's basically how it came here. And how I got involved is basically through one of my networking organizations. The lady in charge met Mark Wolf, and she thought that I'd be a perfect fit because before I started, you know, helping out volunteering with Hockey Helps the Homeless, I was involved with special needs hockey for a little bit because they had a major tournament come here, and I was helping with them. So she thought I'd be a good fit and introduced me to Mark, and I've kind of been with Hockey Helps the Homeless ever since.
Tell me about your current fundraising initiatives.
Yeah, so the current fundraising is basically, I can kind of tell people how we normally do it and then how it's kind of happening today.
Sure.
So normally, you know, we have our prom event. We usually have teams of 15 men and women. They would register in the spring and summer, and they would fundraise into our tournament date, which was the last Friday of October. Of course, we could not have our 7th annual tournament last October. So the 6 tournaments that were supposed to take place last fall and the first 2 tournaments this winter, spring, are participating in what's called the Canada Life Cup. And this is an online campaign where we're still trying to raise as much money as possible for the homeless agencies we support. So up until now, we are doing pretty good. And I want to make mention in particular that a local company, Swift Space Inc., matched the first $100,000 of peer-to-peer fundraising this year. So without Swift Space generosity, Rob Way and his partners, we would definitely be far away from our 2019 total right now.
How can people get involved?
Yeah, so basically our campaign began last November the 16th when we launched, and it runs until March 31st. So 2 ways, basically, you can donate at wr.hhth.com, or you can become a fundraiser, and it costs nothing to register and fundraise. Also, a few years back, I came up with an idea of a 17th team, which is made up of individual fundraisers that did not want to take part in the on-ice hockey portion of our event, but they still wanted to fundraise and, you know, be a part of it. So, you know, I'd be happy to register any individual on that team and they can help out. And plus, we're always looking for companies to get involved as well. We do have 10 teams currently on our site that are fundraising, and a few of them are companies, and a few of them are, you know, normal teams that play hockey. Of course, some had to bow out this year, but that's understandable. We have also a lawn sign campaign that we started in December. At this point, we sold over 300 lawn signs, and we've made a lot of money on that so far. And I'm always looking for other suggestions for people to come up with fundraising ideas. That would be great. And the contact info, if you want to get a hold of me, it's waterloo@hhth.com is the email. And our website, of course, I mentioned earlier, is wr.hhth.com.
So March 31st is coming up quick. You can still donate to Hockey Helps the Homeless, and also you can inquire about their lawn signs. The 519 Community Collective is an initiative started by Julie Sawatsky, and it wasn't long before others joined her. I talked to Julie recently about the 519 Community Collective, and she started with a description of the good work they do.
So we have our emergency food hamper program, where we provide the emergency food hampers. We also do, every other day, we provide food out into the community, hot meals, right to the streets, downtown Kitchener, downtown Cambridge. We're providing meals out to the community for the homeless folks. We also go out every other day, and we support the local shelters as well with, you know, we make up snack bags, we provide them with homemade sandwiches, all that kind of stuff. And then now we have two new initiatives that we're doing are the food pantry, so the Free Little Pantry. We wanted them to be built in a way that was going to be cohesive with, you know, them all looking relatively the same. Mm-hmm. We also wanted them to be really good quality because we're talking about them being out in the elements and stuff like that. And we also wanted them up off of the ground. We don't think it's a good idea to have food, like, right on the ground. And then the other new initiative, our food initiative, is the 519 Community Nourish Urban Food Program. Mm-hmm. And that is a food program where we will be, when we do our regular cooking at the kitchen for outreach programs and our hampers and stuff, we're also going to be making bento boxes that can be put in the freezer, like spaghetti meatballs, chicken and rice, just hearty, good home-cooked meals, turkey stew, things like that, that we will put in our commercial freezer and fridge. And those meals will be headed out to people who sign up who are either a senior, a shut-in, someone with disabilities, essentially folks that with right now, you know, with everything that's going on in the world, they can't just go out to the grocery store. A lot of really immune-compromised folks, people who, you know, can't walk out in the winter or wheelchair bound, things like that. Mm-hmm. So we set up this new initiative to be able to maximize our time in the kitchen and make sure that we're able to meet a new demographic as well as the folks in shelters on the streets.
Could you speak a little bit about the 519 Community Outreach Group?
Absolutely. So this is the group I started March the 30th of 2020. My businesses were kind of shut down at that time, and I had always dreamed of doing something like this at a larger scale. My family, I was raised as a missionary kid, so we always did this growing up. I've always raised my kids this way, and it was just kind of like the right place at the right time. And it was amazing how, you know, the community and the connections network I had already built were very quick to jump on board, and I was amazed to see so many of my vendor friends and community friends getting involved and wanting to help out. And, you know, as we kind of evolved with the group, we started bringing on new initiatives and seeing where, you know, we went wrong or where we could go and make, you know, better changes in our, in how we go about things and our organization and forms and things. And I'm happy to say that at this point we are able to facilitate about 7 or 8 different offshoots of the 519 community to support all different kinds of demographics and things like that. Yeah.
What is needed to help with your initiatives? What can people do?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, I really encourage people to join our Facebook group because it's really interactive. We post every single day. We're really transparent about everything. We encourage people to get involved with different posts where we're asking for volunteers for different things. So we think that being a part of the community is really important to see how you can get involved. And on an ongoing basis, we're always going to be in need of food for our hamper program. So anything that you could think of putting in a fridge or in a pantry, that stuff that we're constantly looking for. So people just randomly, anonymously drop off groceries on my porch, and we set it up in our food hamper pantry. We also have a commercial fridge and freezer that we keep stocked as well. And obviously, monetary donations go a long way for us as well. We have to continue to pay for insurance. We have 2 storage units that we are currently using for our New Beginnings program with furnishings, and then the other one with everything else you can imagine, from coats, boots, and sleeping bags, and tents, and all those good things. So you can get involved, you know, with on a donation basis, or you can join the group and look for really practical ways to get involved with cooking or making period packs that we bring out to the shelters, and even writing encouraging notes and dropping them off so we can include them with our campers and things like that. We like to kind of do those little added touches with our campers so that everyone who gets one has a handwritten card from someone in our community, and that has been really neat to see the response of that. So lots of different ways to get involved, and we welcome people to reach out and let us know what their gifts and things that they feel like they could bring to the table, and we try to plug them into things that will really make sense. There, like just today, just to give you an idea, I spent $204 at Food Basics, and a lot of the stuff I bought was on sale, but that is to make the food portions for the next 2 days of outreach. So in 2 days, to cook about 150 portions of healthy, home-cooked meals. We're making spaghetti meatballs, Caesar salad, garlic bread, and turkey stew. That's about how much it costs to do that. So funding is definitely welcome, and fresh produce, meat, cheese, vegetables, fruits go such a long way around here.
I asked Julie if this was coming out of her own pocket.
When I first started it, it was definitely me taking food from my own pantry and me just kind of praying and being like, God, don't leave me hanging here. You know, like, I got to feed my own family. Got to feed my own family, too. And he took that prayer and kind of just blew my expectations out of the water. And I'm very happy to say that I have not had to put any of my own funding in it for months because people have been incredibly generous. I was also raised to be quite frugal. So I'm able to make the donations go pretty far. Like, I know how to make a good stew for on the cheap, and it still tastes amazing. And we like to make sure that we can reach out to the community and see if we can meet certain needs with a donation before we ask for the funding. And we've been really fortunate that community members just step right up and make it happen.
The mission statement of the 519 Community Collective is simple. It reads, to be honest, be kind, show love and compassion, and do it all while being humble. I asked Julie to talk more about that, and in particular, the importance of humility.
You know, I've been called into question before, you know, about how can you run this group and still remain humble, or what do you get out of it kind of thing, like what's your ulterior motive, or, you know, what's the benefit to it? And I always just say the same thing, like, people really don't understand about giving until they truly live their life generously, and you just start to change the way you think. Everything is different now. You think about people differently, situations differently. You have more compassion and more love. And when you start living like that, those are all beautiful things to live your life, and they make you a happier person. They make you more content. And it really brings you down to earth when you're working with the folks that we are, because every day you're kind of brought to your knees again and humbled by these stories. And it truly makes you grateful for the things you have, and it definitely is great for kids and, you know, for volunteers who are helping, and they can showcase these stories to their kids, and it's really helping the next generation too to be a lot more compassionate and look outside their little bubble. At the end of the day, it's definitely not about media or getting exposure or fame, because that's not really what matters to me in life.
Anyone who's done this kind of work knows that it's not worth the media.
That's exactly what I was about to say. And anyone who thinks that or continues to suggest that should really try to live a week in my shoes, because it's definitely tiring, exhausting, very emotional work that sometimes we are a part of. But it doesn't hurt to get your network built up and strong, and it doesn't hurt for more people to hear about the things that are going on in our community. I think that's one of the best parts of this group, is spreading awareness to demographics of our region who really didn't even know we had shelters. You know, just getting folks who maybe weren't aware of some of the food insecurities in the region. It's really opening people's eyes, and I think it's really changing the way people think and how they live their life. And I think that's the best takeaway. Isn't what I'm doing. It's just, it's not about me. It's about what people are able to take away and then what they're living and spreading. And that's just so much bigger than what even the group can do. It's just a beautiful thing to be a part of.
In our interview, Julie made sure to point out that the success of her initiative isn't hers alone.
So I would just like to give a shout out to my administration team, because yes, I started the group. Yes, I run the group, but I really could not do it without their help. They have literally saved me many times over. It's not always been an easy journey. And like I said, getting called into question sometimes, you feel like you're losing yourself, and they have just continued to be a rock for us. And there's been times when some of us have gone through some things with Corona and it's been stressful, and we just know we have a tribe of leaders that is truly dedicated to helping the community. And these are some of the most incredible people I've ever known in my life. And I feel really honored to work alongside of them and have them as administrations on our team. They really make it so much better than it could be with just me alone.
Finally, Julie reiterated how people can get involved.
People are more than welcome to reach out via email. So 519communitycollective@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. When you reach out via that, let's say you had furniture to donate or clothing or groceries or gift cards or funds or whatever, we have a form for everything to keep things organized and just to make sure that we know what channels and where to direct folks. So we recommend that if anyone has a donation, they just email that email and we'll direct you to the right avenue, and we'll make sure that whatever you donate gets into the right hands.
To reiterate an early point that Julie made, one of their initiatives is the free food pantry that are going up throughout the region and even beyond. And you can find out more information about the locations on the 519 Community Collective Facebook page or on their 519 Community Collective Free Pantry Project Facebook page. While Hockey Helps the Homeless is a fundraising charity, and the 519 Community Collective is a mutual aid organization that gets help to people directly, the St. Mary's Church has a takeaway program that features affordable dinners to the whole community. Father Toby Collins spoke to me about the program.
It really started a couple years ago when we first came to the parish. I'm part of a religious community called the Congregation of the Resurrection, and we're priests and brothers who try to lift up people who find themselves in despair. So we're sitting around the table and we're looking at what we're eating, and we're noticing people around us in our community who are eating quite differently, if they're eating at all. And we thought to ourselves, wouldn't it be great if they could eat the same food we're eating? How are we going to create this? Well, we've got good real estate here. We've got a basement and no kitchen. So we began to do some fundraising with the parishioners, see if it resonated with some of them. And a lot of people came forward and pitched in. And next thing you know, we had the money for it. We had a lot of contractors and people in the area giving their time and energy and some appliances that we needed. And we ended up with an excellent professional kitchen, and we were able to hire a professional chef because we got a donation from the Diocese of the Hamilton, Bishop Douglas Crosby. So we're just ecstatic to be able to get to that point. The tiny home came from the idea of, why don't we do takeout, because that's all people can do right now. And we just finished building 10 of these tiny homes for Better Tent City at Lot 42. So if we just had one out front, maybe light it up and, put a door in the front, a door in the back, and make it real easy to use. And, lo and behold, you have tiny home takeout.
I asked Father Toby how it's going.
Really well. What we were hoping for were two things. One was that we got high-quality food out safely to people just of all walks of life, and we were able to do that. Chef Amy Sear did a fantastic job. We've got some gourmet personal pizzas and some great variety there, and she also has her bite of the day that she advertises on tinyhometakeout.com, and so that's like soups and chilies, and I think she's going to try a lasagna. So high-quality food, great thing. The other thing that we were working on was helping people to blur the lines between the haves and the have-nots. We're all in this together. We keep saying that, but but are we really together is what our question is. And, you know, the success of the program is really based on people's ability to come to the same table, or tiny home, I guess you could say, and to eat, you know, all eat together. And those who give, you know, give. And those who don't have enough to give, you know, their presence is gifts enough to us. You know, just enjoy, and let's keep this program running, and stop using, you know, phrases that are all like, well, these people over here and those people over there, and, you know, they're not like us and whatever. You know, it's just a place for all, and everybody helps make it work.
The menu is posted online, and it's pretty much the same every day, the gourmet pizzas, and then you said occasionally there's, or every week that there's a change with the lasagna, or every day?
Every day
it changes.
The night of the day.
Oh, wow. And so that's posted online, is it?
Yeah. We're trying to cater to people who have special diets. You know, sometimes we get vegetarians or vegans come, and there's something here every day for them as well.
Oh, okay. So it's both non-vegetarian and vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how do people pay? Is it through debit, cash?
We do those. We do PayPal, debit, cash. We also do e-transfer.
Okay.
and checks. People are sending checks as well.
So can you pre-order online?
No, there's no pre-ordering.
Oh, okay.
We just stock our home full of food, and as we get low on any particular thing, call goes out to the kitchen, and they ramp up production in the moment. So it's fresh, it's hot, and so far we've been able to cover the need. You might have to wait a couple of minutes for a special order, but yeah. It's pretty quick.
You said you've hired a few people. Is there any capacity for volunteers?
Yeah, there is. After lockdown, we'll be taking some volunteer support on. So, you know, just email the parish and we'll add your name to the list of volunteers. But right now, it's just a select group, usually families or people who are bubbled together, just for safety.
And finally, thank you to Craig Herner of Hockey Helps the Homeless, Julie Sawatsky of the 519 Community Collective, and Father Toby Collins of St. Mary's Catholic Church, downtown Kitchener. In this episode of CKMS News, we explored different types of community support, one charity and two mutual aid initiatives. And it's clear that all types of support are needed to reduce homelessness and food scarcity in KW. We need many different approaches and many different types of people to help. The music on today's show has been Fat Cartoon Jazz by Purple Planet Music. I am Trish Holmes, and you have been listening to the CKMS Newsroom on CKMS 102.7 FM in Waterloo, Ontario, radiowaterloo.ca on the web. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative Grant Program and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. You can access the archives of this show on radiowaterloo.ca/news. Have a great day.